Welcome to Mind the Gap, the podcast that bridges the skills divide with insightful conversations featuring industry leaders, experts, and change makers. I'm Jules, part of the SKUB Climate team. Join us as we explore strategies, ideas, and initiatives reshaping industries across utilities, technology, business, education, and more. We'll uncover experiences that drive inclusivity and skills development, discussing topics like workforce development, mentorship, and the power of diverse perspectives. Whether you're a student, professional, or organisation committed to growth, Mind the Gap is your resource for navigating today's challenges. So let's bridge the gap and unlock limitless potential. Stay tuned for more empowering conversations with trailblazers shaping a brighter future. Today, we're honoured to host John Butterworth, a distinguished leader with over 40 years of experience in the energy sector. As the CEO of National Gas Transmission and Metering, John has been at the forefront of industry transformation. Under his guidance, National Gas transitioned into a standalone entity after National Grid's divestment, a testament to John's visionary leadership. John's role encompasses the ownership and operation of the UK's regulated national transmission system, spanning 7,620 kilometres. This critical network connects upstream gas sources to distribution networks, serving millions, including large industries, gas storage facilities, and power stations. He also oversees the gas system operator function, ensuring system capabilities align with customer and stakeholder demands. Additionally, John manages the National Gas Metering Division, the UK's largest gas meter asset manager, overseeing approximately 7 million assets and providing installation and maintenance services to energy suppliers. John's illustrious career includes pivotal roles at National Grid, where he served as National Operations Director, Managing Director of Northwest Gas, and Global Director of Safety, Health, Environment and Incident Command. Recognised for his contributions to the gas industry, John was awarded the MBE in 2009. He's a Fellow of the Institute of Directors, a Companion of the Institution of Gas Engineers and Managers, and currently presides as the President of the Pipeline Industries Guild. In this episode, we talk about John's vision for the future of the industry, the challenges the gas industry faces when it comes to attracting and retaining the next generation, and not using a computer. So join us for an insightful conversation with John Butterworth on Mind the Gap as he shares his wealth of experience and insights. What led you to pursue a career in the utilities industry, and any key milestones that you felt have played a part in that journey?
Yeah, so thanks, Jules. That's a great question. So I started at 17 in a gasworks in Manchester. And really, I took the job because it was like family to me. You know, my mum died when I was nine, so we were brought up by grandparents and neighbours, really. My dad was sort of disappeared. And so it became really like family. People looked after me, people cared for me, people took me for a beer, kept me on the straight and narrow because I was a bit wild when I was a teenager. So, you know, I progressed from sort of becoming an apprentice, then I ended up becoming a supervisor, went to college, got lots of different jobs, got in lots of scrapes, lots of things went wrong, started to learn the world of gas explosions and gas incidents and the humour and banter and fun and excitement of our sector, and then worked my way up through various different jobs till I ended up when I was 38 being the managing director of Northwest Gas, which I could never dream about. My wife and my wife lives six doors away from me since we were six, so she knows everything about me. Every time I got promoted, I thought I'd made it. I never really had any ambition. I just did the job as best I could and hoped people noticed. And then I went from being the managing director of Northwest Gas. We were bought by National Grid, which a company called Transco, which was the whole of the UK's gas business. And I was appointed as the chief operating officer in National Grid and went to do many, many things in the United States, all over the country, all over Europe, laying interconnectors, deep shore operations in the North Sea, etc., etc. And now we sold the gas assets and I'm the CEO of National Gas, which is 6.5 million metering customers and the gas transmission system in the UK that takes gas from the North Sea, the Irish Sea, big super tankers come in and we take the gas, we treat it, we blend it, and then we pressurise it with 71 big engines, the same you see under a Boeing 747 or an A380. And then we force that gas every day into the cities. And then at night we mess about to make sure there's enough gas for the next morning. So that's what I'm up to.
Amazing. So you did mention that there's obviously a lot of opportunity that you've had in the industry for travel, for different jobs. Do you think when back in the earlier days when you were sort of moving around the utility sector, do you think that set you up, having all those opportunities to look at different parts of the industry, set you up for where you are today?
Yeah, I think, you know, the utility sector is fantastic because you can't trick a tricker. And in the utility sector, you get to do a bit of everything. I mean, I have done planning, asset management, engineering operations, construction, safety, business development. You get such a broad array of experience. You're so set up in later life to become a leader.
And just so our audience can get to know you a little better, we've heard about what you do in the office. What is it that you like to do in your personal time? What hobbies and interests do you have?
Yeah, so I'm 61, so I'm, you know, my kids take the mick out of me all the time. I have three children, they're 34, 33 and 31. I've got two grandchildren, and you know, so I spend a lot of time with the grandkids. I'm mad about cycling. I do a bit of running where the knees are nearly packing in. And I'm heavily involved with the 4x4 response club. So there's 28 of us in the West Midlands. We've got beat up Land Rover Defenders. And if a surgeon can't get to hospital to operate someone in deep snow or flooding, then we get rallied. We've all got a radio system and we respond to the NHS and we go and get surgeons, theatre nurses, anaesthetists from the house. And we get them to the hospital, whatever we need to do. So, you know, I feel good about that. It's really, really rewarding, actually.
How did you get into that, if you don't mind me asking?
I think I've recognised that most of my life I've taken, you know, what's in it for me. And in the last maybe 10 years, it's like, what can I put into society? So I like tinkering with cars. I love my Land Rover Defender. So I thought, you know, I could get into that. So the last job I did last winter, I was taking nurses around the West Midlands in 2 foot of snow to give pain relief to people with stage 4 cancer at home. So it's very, very rewarding. So that's how I really got into it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's incredible. Not what I expected you to say, but very, very interesting. What motivates and inspires you to lead that industry and what pushes you to make the difference that you guys are making?
Yeah, so I mean, I feel really, really proud to be running a gas company. And everyone says, gas, you know, net zero. But we keep the lights on every single day. In winter, I wake up in the morning and I look out the window and I see everyone tucked up, keeping warm. You know, 23 million homes, 500,000 businesses, power stations that can generate electricity because there's no wind. Because when it's cold, there's generally no wind. So I feel great and I'm so proud of my people that we keep the lights on and keep people warm every single day. And I know that's taken for granted and we get a lot of grief because, you know, everybody wants wind to be the answer, but it isn't the answer at the minute. And what we do in the gas industry is make a difference.
I will say it's a common theme, isn't it? That pride that people take all the way through whatever stage you're at in your career, whatever job you do in the utilities, I think everybody has that sense of pride.
I mean, I remember in the 1985 winter, which I worry about and people have forgotten about, you know, people were walking to school down the canal and the rivers, the sea froze at Blackpool, it was minus 20 degrees for many weeks, it was horrendous, and there was 2-3 some places 6 foot of snow where it had drifted, and people were freezing, and we made a decision to give every single pensioner free gas until the winter ended, and everyone who was ill or infirm, because we could see that they couldn't afford it. And things like that, you know, nobody ever talks about, it's never reported, but this industry cares about the population and it cares about the country.
And again, leading nicely on to kind of what do you find the most rewarding about being involved in the industry? And I think that sort of answers that question for me. But is there anything that you're specifically passionate about, the work that you do and the impact that has to kind of day to day on society?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that, you know, is great about our industry is very, very philanthropic, i.e. we love to do things and spend money on doing good. And a great example of that is that I feel really proud of, that I got an MBE for it was we decided to try and get hold of young kids, both boys and girls, who'd got themselves in a bit of a mess and ended up in prison. And, you know, roll on 12 years later, I became the ambassador of that. The chairman was asked by the Prime Minister to look at it. And I just happened to be in his office at the time. So Sir John Parker said to me, John, it's your project. So 12 years later, wow, we'd got 1,500 kids out of prison, back into society with proper jobs that we'd organised without any reoffending at all. And I felt really proud of that. And the staff loved it. They could all get involved. The gang sort of took a father figure for one of the guys and brought him on a job so that they had a role model. And so that made me feel good. And then the other thing we used to do, and we're going to kickstart again now, we're a new company, is we used to take 2,800 kids with Down syndrome and learning difficulties and create what was the equivalent to the Olympics. So we'd hire Leicester Football Stadium or Bath would give us the university. We've done it all over the place. And what's rewarding for that is to see the parents with a smile on their face, to see the kids winning medals, and they love medals. So, you know, all our families are involved. My wife, my daughter, we're giving out medals left, right and centre. And you get more out of it and the staff get more out of it than actually the kids do. And that's something that the utility sector, I think because of our heritage of being nationalised companies, we've got that philanthropic want to do good work ethic in our DNA. So they're the sort of things you get involved in when you come into utilities.
Yeah, and interestingly, so we're going to talk a bit more in detail about the skills gap, and something that keeps cropping up is how utilities companies can sort of promote diversity and inclusion and within their workforce to help that skills gap, because it's obviously something that's very much of the moment, but it is something that we do need to push, I think. I'm not sure if you would agree. I'm assuming that you do based on that, and also that you're bringing that back. So when you say you're bringing that back, I assume it was stopped because of the split of the company. So it's just bringing those things back slowly as they... As,
yeah, exactly. We're just starting on a thing called Dress for Success, because, you know, I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the difference that makes. I spend an hour with a kid. I put a suit on him that someone's donated. We have a, you know, a chat about how to do interview techniques, and they get the job.
It's amazing.
They never get, because, you know, the last guy I did was a Chechenian whose his life was horrendous. And he'd been going for job interviews in a tracksuit because he didn't have a suit. He'd got a degree in computing in Russia. And, you know, surprise, surprise, they get a job, give them a chance. So it's great.
And is that something you'd roll out across the company, or is that something that you just... Amazing. So everyone's got that opportunity to get involved. Give us a bit of an overview of the state of the skills gap in the utilities industry, and maybe off the back of that, what key challenges you think that you in the gas industry are facing?
Yeah, so we've got a massive skills gap, and I'm so delighted you've invited me to do this, because people don't really understand, and that's on us, that, you know, shame on us, we've not done a good enough job over probably the last 10 years. But it is a great industry with a lot of people that care, and we have got to repurpose this country into hydrogen. And, you know, it is going to happen, because when the wind doesn't blow, the only option is hydrogen. And so we need thousands, literally thousands of people with high skill sets, with apprentices, graduates, professional people who want to swap jobs, to come and help us repurpose and figure out how to put 375,000 tons of hydrogen a day in winter across the beach into our network and get it safely to industry and houses to keep people warm with no CO2 emissions. So this is one of the biggest challenges of our time, and we've just got to do a better job sort of telling the message.
When you were talking about that and the passion you've got for it, it reminds me of when you see the adverts that talk about a bit like the army, in that they've got these huge jobs to do, and it's that excitement, isn't it? It's bringing that in and making it... The utilities industry hasn't always been sexy, and it's not necessarily, you know, there's so much competition out there in different industries.
Yeah, yeah.
It's bringing that excitement to it, and that talking with that passion, and I think hearing leaders like you talk about it like that.
And, you know, there's no status in our industry. You know, when I go into other companies in other sectors, it always shocks me if I'm asked to be a guest speaker or something, how much status there is.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no status. You know, everyone talks to everyone. No one cares about job titles. People get on and have a laugh. And, you know, I think having fun's really important. You know, and I might be a CEO, but I'm still a practical joker. I mean, HR, try and subdue it. You know, human resistance are always on me to, you know, not joke as much, but you've got to have a laugh as well.
What do you think it's going to take to sort of attract the talent that we're going to need and retain them as well? Because I think often that's the bigger problem, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think we've got to really talk in a language that people understand about the ambition that we've got to go on to get hydrogen into our system, which is massive. And, you know, it's an endeavour. It's a bit like building the canals. You know, it's not a project. This is something that is going to change the world, because we're going to be a world leader in it. And you think of the opportunity for people joining us with the skill set they'll get to be whatever they want to be anywhere in the world, because they'll have a hydrogen skill set that nobody else has got. And the rest of the Western world, it's going to have to go with hydrogen, because when the wind doesn't blow, the only option is hydrogen.
And just on that, I suppose this ties nicely into something else I wanted to chat about, the future of the utilities industry, particularly in the UK, but worldwide. What do you think that looks like, and how do you think we're going to have to adapt to fit that need?
Yeah, so I think what you'll see is more of a sort of connectivity between electricity, between gas, between nuclear, between hydro, so that everyone brings and comes together, so that we have the best option for our country and the best option for civilization. And that will be wind when it's windy, backed up with hydrogen, with nuclear, with everything that's carbon free, so we can do our bit for climate change. But you'll have a very different feel about it. It will be multiple different types of generation and sources of energy that will bring in and bring out depending on the weather and how cold it is and whether the wind's blowing, etc. So you'll see a much more integrated energy network sector.
Interesting. And do you think that's starting to happen? Are you seeing that sort of integration, cohesive?
I think over the next few years, it has to happen, because we have to have an integrated energy system, because you can't have the wind not blowing independent from gas power generation, independent from nuclear generators. It's all got to come together to do the right thing for society.
And I suppose that leans nicely into the what you were saying about the people getting that training and being able to develop skills that we don't necessarily have at the moment. That cohesive approach is only going to give them more options to stay in the industry.
You know, I'm always milling about the office, annoying people, stopping and chatting to them all. And, you know, there is a real passion and ambition, because we're on a journey and we've got a purpose, and our purpose is to repurpose the whole of the gas network into hydrogen. And that is such a massive job that we're going to have to do, that people have a real buzz about it. You know, you got to get up in the morning with a sense of purpose. And, you know, that's our purpose. So it's great.
Finally, what advice would you give to your younger self if they were just starting out in the industry now?
Well, as a younger self, you know, I used to work as hard as I possibly could. I'd get, hopefully my boss would notice. I'd always been brought up, give your boss all the credit. You know, when I hear people say, oh, my boss took the credit. Well, that's what bosses do. Give your boss all the credit. And then people notice that you're hardworking and you get another job. I have never, ever in 45 years in the industry applied for a job, ever. Never applied for one. I've always, someone said, do you fancy doing this or do you fancy doing that? But what I could have done better that I didn't know about and didn't understand is, perhaps I've thought in my head, what's the destination every 5 years? So what would I want to be in 5 years' time so I could head there? You know, it's like I was a sat nav and I hadn't put a destination in, so I was all over the place. And I could have made possibly my life better if I'd have thought about what my destination might be and sort of taken a 5 year think about it. Yeah. And then I might have had a better career than the one that I did have. But the one I had was, you know, great.
Thank you so much for your time. We've actually come through all our questions, but is there anything that you'd like to cover while you're here?
I think, Jules, you know, that the overarching thing I would say is that don't dismiss our sector as something that isn't sexy, fun, ambitious, fulfilling, and will give you a great sense of purpose when you wake up in the morning.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Mind the Gap. We hope you've gained valuable insights and inspiration from our conversation today. If you want to stay connected and continue bridging the skills divide, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your favourite platform so you don't miss out on our upcoming episodes
where we'll bring you even more thought-provoking discussions with trailblazers who are shaping a brighter future. Remember, whether you're a student, a professional, or an organisation committed to inclusivity and growth, Mind the Gap is here to guide you on your journey. So, until next time, keep your curiosity alive, keep learning, and keep bridging those gaps. Together, we can unlock the limitless potential within each and every one of us. Thank you for listening to Mind the Gap. See you in the next episode.